Rita? Oh, it's Sue.
Yes. I'm calling you. Your phone was ringing and ringing.
Oh, that was you. Okay. I'll go back to the meeting. I just got into the meeting. I should be, though. Hold on. I'm on the other side of my phone talking to you. The other side, I think, is the meeting. Okay. Hi, it's Sue. Hi, is that Will?
It's Will and Joe and Howard.
Hi, guys.
Oh, Kevin. Oh,
hello.
We just got Kevin on here.
And Kevin. Hello. Hey, Kevin. Hey.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. So, hi, Will. How are you? Hi, Kevin. I'm well, and how are you? I'm well, too. Yeah, okay.
Who are we waiting for?
We're waiting. Janice got off to call Kevin and, what's his name,
I thought it was Sue that she was talking about the call. Alfred, probably.
Alfred, yes.
Alfred. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I have this awful time with names. Alfred. Did she call you, Kevin?
If she did, I've been up here on my upstairs, and my phone's downstairs. If she called me, I didn't even know it.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't that late, actually. Only 5 minutes.
No. We haven't won anything, so.
Okay.
Hi, Janice is back.
Hi, Janice. Kevin showed up. Did you get a hold of Alfred?
Yeah, he said he's calling in.
Okay, good. All right.
I put the agenda up in the chat.
Oh, okay. Good. Great.
Okay. I'll tell you, Zoom is not behaving. I had a new version, and it's just not working very good on my computer. I mean, it works fine, but what it's not doing is working with the windowing system. So, so it really is like, I can't use my computer for anything else. And now, you know, how do I close the chat? There, okay. Anyway, yeah, huh, that's what I said to. I looked into it, but I don't
know.
Okay.
Got the new approved zone.
I guess that's what I call it.
Gosh. Well, I hope I can avoid that.
Well, I think it's my computer. I mean, I use Linux and Slackware.
Oh, hi, this is Alfred.
Ask Sue. Sue?
Yes?
Hi, Alfred.
Hi, Alfred.
Hi.
Zoom?
Yes.
Okay, good. I won't have to worry about that.
And I will hit record.
This meeting is being recorded.
Alfred, are you having trouble getting on? You're mute. And you can't answer me yet.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm going to go to a different room here.
Howard just got up and left. I heard something ringing in the other room. I think he ran off to answer the phone.
Right.
Wait a minute. Did you have a list of everybody that's here?
Joe, Howard, Will, Kevin, Sue, Rita, Janice, and Alfred.
Okay, sounds like you got them all. Did you miss anybody? I think maybe we can get started while Howard seems to have gone off somewhere. So, on his agenda,
all within here, Scott. I was just running around because my alarm went off for
I heard
watching the fire.
Go off.
Running the floor. And, yeah.
Okay. Your first agenda item is the letter to AOC. I'm not sure what we're going to do with that, and I will explain to everybody why I don't know and what the problem is here. Howard, of course, submitted this letter that he wanted to send out, and he asked to have it expedited under our emergency or time-sensitive procedure for where we had 24 hours to decide on it. And during that 24 hours, I heard from two people about it. One was Tim Runkle, who thought that we didn't need to use the time-sensitive rule on it, but have it up for regular discussion. And the other,
and I believe he also said he supported it. And I believe he said he supported it, sending it as is.
Oh yeah, he did. He has since then, because he sent a message that he won't be at the meeting tonight, but he supports the letter that he sent. And then the other problem we had was that Paul originally said that he wanted to, let me see here, the later one, I printed these out so I could find them. Paul wanted to include a couple of other things with Howard's letter. He wanted to do a portfolio of papers, I guess is what he called it, a troika of papers as a portfolio, and wanted to include three things in it. One was the presentation of the AMI position on the monetary reform. For Janice, the AMI is the American Monetary Institute, and that basically is the position that is in our platform. And so, you and Alfred may not be aware of some of these acronyms here, so I think everybody else is here. If somebody doesn't understand,
I've talked to Paul about that.
Pardon?
Actually, I think I joined AMI at some point, gave him a donation, so.
Is that Alfred? It's Cardi?
Yes.
Okay. And he also, the second part of what Paul wanted to do was include some kind of a caution concerning the underpinnings of MMT with documentation. And the third thing he wanted to do was present an alternative currency position, which I'm assuming he's meaning by local use of local currencies. And wanted an introduction to the portfolio, noting that these are all possibilities that need to be considered in the discussion of the monetary issues. Okay, so anyway, and he, I think, wrote this before Howard asked to have this expedited. And after that, he sent in, I think that this blocking concern or blocking objection, I guess that's what they call it in our rules that he sent. I think he only sent it to me and sent that on Monday. And I didn't notice that it hadn't come through the listserv until I looked for it tonight and couldn't find it. Anyway, he said, I basically have no problem with this being sent to AOC. On the other hand, I do have a blocking concern that it be sent as the only alternative to the present system that this committee and the Green Party have under consideration. The mutual money proposals I am proposing definitely follow the spirit of the Green Party platform. If Howard's proposal can be sent with the proviso that this is the first installment of a series, which I think also ought to include a caution to the promoters of the Green New Deal outside the Green Party about MMT's theory as well, as well as something about the mutual money possibilities, and how some of these principles can be intertwined with those of the less radical AMI proposal to make a more democratic system, I would be comfortable with that. And he said, I'm currently working on a piece on the invalid assumption of government creation of money. I'm also involved in our program to get it easier for parties on the ballot in Kansas, and I will be testifying in Topeka tomorrow on behalf of that legislation. The rest of my evening and tomorrow morning will be spent on preparation for that. This was done on Monday. And then he did say he has a blocking concern unless we present the other alternatives. I mean, that's basically what and then, after, let's see, we decided to continue the discussion on this. He sent me an email, told me he could not be at the meeting tonight because he was going to be involved in the sale of a business and he would not be home in time for the call. Everyone. And so after I got that from him, I sent him an email and basically asked him if he would be willing to withdraw his blocking objection. Also told him that one of our members from Pennsylvania was discussing the possibility of sending it to the senator who was also sponsoring it, the Green New Deal. I told him we were hoping to take care of this at our meeting tonight. And I suggested to him that maybe his portfolio of ideas or whatever might work into a possibility or into some kind of an educational package that we could use, and asked him if he would be if that would be something we could do so that we could go ahead and approve Howard's letter to send it out. And he answered and he said
As I stated earlier, I have no difficulty with our letter being sent out. My only qualification is that other alternatives be treated equally and sent out under the same conditions. A note to that effect that the other alternatives are coming would, in my mind, be appropriate. And anyway, then he apologizes for not being able to be at the meeting. So anyway, I'm not exactly sure what we wanted to do with his blocking objection, because he does not object at all to the letter itself. Pardon? Howard?
I believe he just got done saying in that last part that he had no problem with the letter going out.
That's right. He doesn't have a problem with the letter. However, he has a problem. The only way he will...
No, he was just saying that he would like to see other alternatives treated equally.
Well, okay.
I don't think he made it a condition.
He said, I do have a blocking concern that it be sent as the only alternative. Okay, and that he wants...
That in that same letter?
No. That was in the later one here. The later one, he said, as I stated earlier, I have no difficulty with Howard's letter being sent out. My only qualification is that other alternatives be treated equally and sent out under the same conditions. A note to that effect, to the effect that other alternatives are coming, would be, in my mind, appropriate. So what I read from this, what he's saying is that he's qualifying his acceptance of your letter
By adding that
he wants other alternatives treated equally and sent out under the same conditions.
Just that.
I don't think we have to say that.
So what are you going to say?
Yes. Well, what I would like to understand, Rita, is if he were here, how would we be treated if everyone was here, if all was here, how would we be treating his blocking objection? How would we be dealing with it?
Okay, the next thing I want to do, I want to read to you what our rules say about blocking objection.
Okay.
That's coming next. Okay. Here's our rules in the discussion phase about blocking objection. A blocking objection to a proposal is an objection serious enough that the member making the objection believes that it cannot be resolved through discussion and is rarely used. During the discussion period, we try to arrive at consensus. Ideally, no member would make a blocking objection unless the member believes the proposal violates one or more Green Party principles. A blocking objection must relate to the proposal. If it does not, the facilitator of the discussion should state that the blocking objection is not recognized as such. Anyway, it goes on later here. If a blocking objection is not resolved during a discussion period, the original presenter of the proposal may withdraw the proposal or suggest an amendment to the proposal that would remove the blocking objection. The proposal as amended received the support of the first two people who supported it, then the discussion continues on the proposal as amended. Actually, it says no member would make a blocking objection unless that member believes that the proposal violates one or more Green Party principles. I don't feel that he has indicated in his blocking objection that it actually violates any Green Party principles. So he just wants it made part of a larger package. So, yeah, I'm I don't know. I haven't run up against a problem like this before, and I'm not sure, you know, if we can treat it as a blocking objection or not, or whether we should or not. And I guess I would like some input from anyone who has an opinion on that.
Bonus deck.
Go ahead.
I read the letter today somewhat belatedly, and I'm left with the, I think it's great. I really like that Howard did it, but I'm trying to see it in a context, a tactical context. For one thing, if it's a proposal, then I guess it should be stated that a proposal has been forced to, been put forth to send this letter to Representative Ocasio-Cortez. And then the letter is as follows. So that's just a procedural thing. But bigger than that is, are we actually trying to educate the Democrats with their own history of Roosevelt's attempts to install a monetary policy? Because it's going to take a lot more than that letter to open up that door, and I think we should do that, and I would love to do that. But I think the letter is a really great intro for work that we need to do. I'm not sure that it's complete enough to go. I mean, knowing Democrats as I do right now, I used to be one just a couple of years ago, and I worked really hard in Bernie's campaign, and I was a 50-year Democrat before that. It strikes me that they're going to laugh at it, they're going to dismiss it, they're going to discount it, and it really needs to come to not just her, but if we're going to be dealing with, like, the Congressional, the House Monetary Committee and the Senate Monetary Committee, you know, we might as well prepare some really great stuff to send to them. Because otherwise, it really doesn't seem like enough to do what we're trying to do right now. And it opens up three big questions that need quite a tremendous amount of explanation to go along with them. If we do have a financial solution, it's going to take way more than, you know, a short letter. Over.
Does anyone want to comment on what Janice just said?
Joe Stack.
Go ahead, Joe.
I guess, you know, Howard's idea was to go to Ocasio-Cortez because she is the leader of the Green New Deal proposal in the House, and that was what was getting a lot of attention. And the reason, to me, this may be nobody else's agenda. The reason to me is because she has skirted with stating that the government can create the money to pay for the Green New Deal. Okay, she has almost said that. Okay, so to me, it's important to get to her as the spokesperson for the Green New Deal, because I'm afraid that it will not only kill her if she said it, but it will kill the Green New Deal, because there will be no way to pay for it. So the idea of us educating the Democrats is not at all that appealing to me. We have to deal with them, and they're the leaders of this. They're the leaders of this penetration of the monetary issue into the body politic today, in the person of Alexandria Cortez. And so to me, is appropriate, being what it is, the way it is. And that should actually not need any saying, since Howard and I made that video together on this subject previously. But for us, for our committee to try to interject into her thinking, just her thinking, just her campaign thinking, her staff thinking, the fact that there needs to be something else for paying for the Green New Deal, I think is very appropriate and very timely, and in fact very important.
Okay. Are you done, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Janice, I wanted to address what you said about the procedurally that it being incorrect. You thought I did on the listserv send out an explanation of kind of what was going on, and I said, this is the first time that we've actually tried to apply our rules to an actual proposal. And I understood that Howard wanted it treated as a proposal, even though he did not say that. And I suggested that since this is a...
Hello?
Susan?
Hello? Oh, Julie, I can't talk. I'm on a phone. I'm taking minutes. Bye.
I tried to clarify that when I suggested that we were treating it as a proposal, and that two people had already said that they supported it and were in agreement that it should be sent. So anyway, and in the meantime, Howard asked to have it treated under the disaster process where we only deliberate for 24 hours or whatever. So, in the future, we need to make sure that there's another requirement that you put the word proposal actually in the subject line of the email when you make a proposal, so that it will be clear and for somebody that's skimming through the incoming mail or whatever will see that it is a proposal. So,
Janice back?
Yeah. Go ahead, Janice.
I like what Joe said, and I agree with it. It is important to do that. Maybe there's a way to add some wording that clarifies kind of the content of what Joe just said, that based on the fact that she is spearheading this movement, we wanted to contact her and share our thoughts, or however, you know, the wording would end up, where this factor is the most important, and, you know, because of our concern also that misstating this or not having sufficient information could do great damage to something that we all value tremendously. So look, I just wanted to, you know, amend what I said a little bit further with that.
You're suggesting that we add something to it then?
Yeah, because something that Joe, like Joe just said, that connects it to her, why we're writing her, I think that's extremely salient.
Okay. Would you have a problem with that, Howard?
Well, I actually tried to do that in the first paragraph.
I don't have the letter in front of me, but you know, if it's clear in the and the other thing I didn't mention is that one of our members from Pennsylvania suggested that if we are sending it to her, we should also probably send it to the senator who also proposed it in the Senate.
I will say that I could improve that a little bit based on Janice's comments.
Okay.
And Janice, could you send me put an email on the BMRC listserv or something with some of the language that you'd like to see there?
Yes, and I also printed out a copy of her proposal, and I'm going to review that. I would just like to have a couple lines saying, you know, we're addressing you because of your value in doing this, and you know how much we appreciate it. And
right.
This is an area that you have expertise in, and you wanted to offer these thoughts, something like that. But I'll certainly write that up and send that tomorrow.
Okay. Okay.
Great.
Now, let us go back here to, does anyone else have anything to say about the substance of the letter?
Kevin Stack, can you hear
me? Go ahead, Kevin.
I just want to talk a little bit about it. You know, writing stuff, it's not easy. Let me say that. And I find that that you get better results when you really put a lot of time and effort into trying to understand your audience. Mm. And so I just want to talk about that because, you know, it's easy to write things that you really believe in and that have all of the things that are meaningful to you, but are you really talking to the audience? And our audience here is the staff of, what's her name, AOC, Cortez. And so, you know, and then, you know, to make, to be talking about this, it's such a, it's almost an artistic point because, you know, what does that mean? I mean, it's a very legitimate question to ask, what the heck am I talking about here? Because I can't always answer it. You know, there's something about really having put some time and thought into who you're talking to, but you kind of have to know who they are. What are the pressure points or the things that's going to really get their attention? So or get them, you know, and it's also to get an emotional tie. So some of what Janice says really connects with me that, you know, it needs to be something that's going to really, you have to reach into their sense of loyalty to the cause, I guess, and that they have a responsibility since they have taken on the role here of leading the charge on the Green New Deal. And also, you know, so with that, and then, you know, our it's not so much, I just don't know how to say it, because I just got the feeling reading it that it was a great letter for somebody, you know, if for somebody who knows what we're talking about, for somebody who understands the issues, it lays it all out very nicely. But what if you don't understand the issues? And what if you, what if you're not cognizant of certain basic facts? You know, another thing too that leads me to talk about this is I was watching a show on YouTube. It was Russian RT, Russian television, and it was one of these talking head shows that I watch. It's a conservative thing, but the reason I watch it is because they always talk about foreign policy in the Middle East, and they have a totally different perspective than what you would get from the U.S. media. But they were talking about the Green New Deal, and they had a couple of Republicans on that show, Republican members of Congress, by the way, and they were really, they were calling Ms. Cortez names. They were saying that she was a kindergartner, that it was totally irresponsible, that there was nothing about how do you pay for it. That was a big deal. And so she's gonna be running into that kind of stuff, and you know, so there's more. I'm not sure how valuable a letter from us in terms of giving her ammunition to argue, because we are trying to make sure that she knows what she's talking about. You know, as opposed to giving her talking points in the debate, but. But the way that they were approaching it shows that the mindset of what they're trying to do, you know how you control a debate by controlling the agenda or by deciding, you know, what's relevant and what's not relevant. You win the debate before it even starts if you're able to do that. So the reason for bringing up monetary reform, aside from the fact that it's probably an essential element here, is you bring it up in order to make sure that the other side is having to defend everything. You know, the Republicans should be defending the banking cartel. And instead of going on about how are you going to pay for it, you know, and, well, anyway, the thing that I felt about it was that it was just another, it's more of another monetary reform, you know, argument that the staff may not understand, that you know, it's, I don't know, it's just kind of, I kind of want to echo Janice's point about that, that I felt like there should be more to it. Anyway, that's my comments, and that's...
Okay, thank you. Leaving that aside for the moment, I would like to go back to the discussion about this blocking objection. I am inclined to think that it is not really what normally would be a blocking objection, because he approves the letter itself, but he wants to add some other things and such, and you know that, and from that aspect, he's not objecting to the letter itself. He's more or less saying he wants to do, instead of A, he wants to do A, B, C. And, you know, if we don't do A, B, C, then he objects to the letter. And I don't see how that relates to being something that doesn't comport with the green values. So, go ahead.
Yeah, Rita, thanks, because I definitely do agree with that. And I would just add that, to me, to accept the blocking objection would be a bad precedent for this committee at this time, because because we would be putting ourselves in a situation where our ability to accomplish work would be endangered, you know, by the ability to raise no invalid blocking objections because we let this one go. And it doesn't seem to me to comport to what we have called for as qualifying for a blocking objection. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Joe. All right. Normally, you know, if it had come up, I would have discussed it with Howard, but because it's Howard's letter, you know, I wanted some input from other folks here in the. And I do agree with that. I mean, you know, I've seen this done in other cases where somebody comes up with an objection that's totally unrelated to the topic under discussion, and like they're holding the whole proposal hostage because they want something else done. And I don't find that, you know, to be. I don't feel that's within the spirit of the. The census process, I guess, is a way to, I would say that. So does anyone else have anything they want to add about?
Janice, Jack.
Go ahead, Janice.
Based on what I've heard from Joe and Kevin, I've kind of crystallized my thinking a little bit. I agree that this letter walks in at the point where it's assumed that you already understand what it's talking about. And I agree that that's probably not the actual case, but for her and her office. So what exactly does Howard want to say about the money? Just that one thing. How is she going to pay for it? That's going to be the salient issue that will allow her to turn the Republicans into defending themselves for the banking cartel. So what is that exact thing? I think it can be very short, sweet, and to the point. We would like to talk with you about how you're going to pay for this. We have some solutions. You know, we can say here they are if we want to outline the rough abstract of them. Over.
Okay. Thank you.
Joe Sack.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, isn't yeah, I do agree with the need for that, but isn't the answer to that question, the content of the three provisions that are in the NEED Act and that are in the Greening the Dollar proposal for funding the Green New Deal in the platform? And I think that, I'm not sure because I don't have anything open in front of me, but I thought that was the gist of Howard's point, and I would ask Howard, am I right about that, or
Is that something we have left out? Over.
Certainly, that's an important part of this letter. But if I may, I'd like to go through this letter a little bit and explain myself and explain why I thought it was important to say this or that. Of course, we begin by thanking her for the brilliant takedown that she did in terms of exposing the broken campaign finance reform things, and put a link of that in the letter. I hope you all saw that, because it was really something and fun to see. And then for her support of the Green New Deal. And, you know, knowing, of course, she is the leader of that, I think that's been pretty well established in the media, so I don't think I can tell her that. But but I thought certainly I wanted to acknowledge that. I also wanted to make her aware that part of the Green New Deal had a funding section in it under number two, under real financial reform. And I put a link to that as well in the letter. And this is if she wanted to explore further or not. I gave her a little bit of its history and gave a little bit of history in general of publicly issued money so that she had historical arguments to work from, as well as existing legislation that's already there and vetted. There would be only some minor tweaks needed for it to be to come out on the floor to be voted on. And it contains those three reforms, which I wanted to definitely for her to see, because if they're talking about funding, this is the only way to really do it sensibly. And under the current conditions, and explain to her that that's not only supported by the Green Party, but also by groups in 30 nations who are trying to get their governments also to reclaim its economic sovereignty, the right to issue its own money. So I thought all of those things were very important to share with her. And she has had economic training, but she's not a suit. She is a social activist, and so she's well aware of the conditions under which we work. She may not be aware of the public money issue, public versus private money issue. And if she explores into this a little bit in being curious, she may actually discover a pretty rich place to, or a pretty rich vein of material to pursue it. And I told her that we would like to discuss it further with her, you know, so if she has questions, we can go deeper into this and hook her up with further resources and stuff like that. I wanted to keep it to a single page because I felt like it's hard to get through with much more than a single page. Not very many people sit still to read even a single page. There's quite a bit on this single page. But I was hoping that it was informative enough to keep them interested in reading it.
Thank you, Howard. So where do we go from here with Howard's letter?
All right. Well, I made some comments on Howard's letter, you know, and Howard looked at them. Thank you for looking at them, Howard. One of my comments that I really want to stand by is that I think the reference to the NEED Act should come before the history. the NEED Act, and then the NEED Act follows this other history, because you just want to put Dennis Kucinich's name high up in the letter where it will be seen, and the NEED Act and the reference there where they see that. And then I also feel that that you should reference the Constitution, because this is the strongest argument that she has against the Republicans, is that the money power belongs to Congress and the Constitution. And it's another strong argument that she has against the corporate Democrats.
Kevin,
yes.
Kevin, I have included those in the latest version. If you take a look at the latest version of that on the Google Drive, all
okay.
of that has been included.
I'm limited on my computer, Howard, and I apologize, because if I try to do that, then the Zoom thing gets all messed up. So I will look at it. So I'm just going to talk just a little bit more to say, because once you start talking, you just don't want to stop. So let's see. I was talking about the Constitution. Yeah, and the other thing is the corporate Democrats. The corporate Democrats talk about how they have this responsibility for oversight. They have a responsibility for oversight of Donald Trump, of course. But under the Constitution, they have a responsibility of oversight of the banking cartel, of the Federal Reserve. And so she could just be talking about this with that kind of stuff. So anyway, okay. So my one remaining criticism or commentary is that Dennis Kucinich should be higher up in the letter. But that's if that didn't happen. But okay. Thank you.
All right, Howard. Do you want to make some revisions to the letter and maybe put it back out on the listserv for us to look at, or?
Yeah, there is a revised version on there, but it is without Dennis Kucinich being moved up. But I was thinking that every time I look at the letter, Kevin,
uh-huh.
and I've got it printed out here, every time I look at it, his name is almost dead center in it, and I see it every time I look.
Okay. Well,
I guess also because it's next to the link or something, you know, it kind of draws your attention to it.
Okay.
My suggestion here is that we all get an opportunity to look at the revised version, and
Google Drive.
It's on the Google Drive.
Both this one. Yeah, it's on the Google Drive, along with a letter that I also took this and revised it for Senator Markey.
Okay.
And so that is there also.
Okay.
And there's an editable version, and then there's a PDF of each.
Okay.
The PDF just with our, what it looked like.
Sue Stack.
What about Kevin Stack? What about the Arabic congresswoman who's been in trouble for the Benjamin comment? But that's all I. That's it.
I should probably send it to all of the supporters of the Green New Deal.
Yeah. Okay.
You mean send it to all the progressives that we can find in the Democrat?
Yeah.
No, let's not do
that.
Okay. Well, my suggestion is that everybody look on the Google Drive tomorrow and review what's there, and that if somebody has a real problem with it, it's not going to be perfect and suit everybody. But let's try to keep an open mind about it, and if it looks like it's a fairly professional looking letter that we can live with, then let's go with it.
Joe Stack.
Sue Stack.
I think Sue was on the stack earlier.
No, you were ahead of me.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to just assume that everybody says it's a great letter. And what happens next? Because I thought that the proposal was to try to send it on Green Party letterhead signed by co-chairs of the committee. co-signed by the co-chairs of the committee. Is that still a viable method?
I meant to ask Howard, did you hear back from either the secretary or somebody on the steering committee about whether we can send that like you have it with our signatures on it?
No, I haven't. I don't believe. I think I heard from Holly, but she's not on the steering committee, so...
You sent an email to Jody, and Jody said she was going to run it by Gloria Matera. Is that her name?
Right. And I have not heard back.
Okay, I think that before we send it, we better double-check with Jody to see if you're back from Gloria. Gloria was busy writing the other editorial with Margaret Flowers, I think. So,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, just to clarify that there was an issue of on the Green Party letterhead, right?
Well, we kind of made our own letterhead with our committee name on it.
Okay, great. Okay, then.
So it would show that it's not coming from the whole party, but just coming from our committee. Okay.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I don't know if you've looked at it, but you can look at it in the Google Docs, I guess. Is that what you did, Howard, was put it in with the stationary heading?
Yes.
Okay.
And what I may do is make sure I've got the most up-to-date versions in that, because I keep getting little edits.
You keep changing things, yeah. Okay, well, make sure, and let's see, today's Thursday. Let us say maybe that if it looks okay to everybody, if you've got a really bad concern about it or whatever, you can let us know. And Howard can put it out sometime tomorrow. And we'll maybe plan on getting it out on Saturday sometime.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, when we get it out, what exactly does that entail?
Well, we'll have to get an email address for these folks. I'm assuming we're going to email it.
Yeah.
It has links in it to things that you want people to look at. So.
Right. That was.
We'll have to send it by email. We can get the email address. That's not difficult. Usually you can get them through their online directory for the House and the Senate.
Uh-huh.
I would suggest you also print it and send it by regular mail.
Oh, yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah. Good idea. I can probably get that from her website.
Okay, I didn't hear what Kevin said.
Send it to her snail mail.
Oh, okay. Yes, we can do that, too.
I have to get some envelopes that aren't stuck shut.
Sue, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, I just wanted to add, I appreciated a lot what Kevin said, mostly because I was with a friend who used to do a lot of writing for the public, and she was just saying the exact same thing. I also wanted to say, does it make Howard, are you going to be revising the letter? Is that it from from what it is now, the final version that you have now is going to be revised?
Well, I want to make sure I have revised it, and so that's why I'm going to put up the latest revision.
Oh, so you have more revisions than what's up there now?
Well, Janice had suggested a revision that she's going to send the...
That I haven't incorporated. Right. I was hoping to get her length and see about incorporating some of that in there.
So if I, Janice, is that you? Can you send that out this evening?
I'd like to see Howard's revision, because I may, after his explanation, I was thoroughly convinced by his oral presentation, but I need to go back and look at what he's revised, because I may not have anything to offer, but if there is a marketing type emphasis that I might suggest here and there, I'll certainly send that out as soon as I see the letter tomorrow. I'll return it by listserv.
Okay.
All right, and I'll put the letter on listserv too, so...
Oh, okay. That'll be better, and then we'll know it's...
I'll put it in on... whichever is most convenient.
Well, that'll help me, because I have to go to the dentist tomorrow, and I can actually do this while I'm on, you know, en route and at the dentist. I can just read it and then dictate back any revisions that, you know, I might feel like. But after what you said, if I read her proposal and read your revisions with the new insights that I have, I may have nothing to offer, but I'll let you know as soon as I see that.
Okay, Howard, do put it on the listserv as soon as you can, okay?
Okay.
And if anybody has any really serious concerns about it, they can certainly share them with us.
All right.
And I think, and if we don't get any very serious concerns, then I think we can probably say that it would be safe for it to go out on Saturday.
Sue Stack.
Go ahead, Sue.
Does it make sense to include any attachment where she could read about something further on something?
I attached the NEED Act, and I attached the Green New Deal summary of the Green Party's Green New Deal. It certainly could use more, I suppose.
But when you say you attach them, you mean you have links to them?
They're links. They're links, yeah. I wasn't going
to
say any of that.
By email with links to those items.
Joe Sack.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to say that you can also overload, you know, your communication piece. I get accused of that all the time, that is to say, given too much homework. And this is meant to be, you know, an initial handshake, if you will, of ideas. And there's plenty there for anybody who's interested to look into and see that there is value, social value to what's there. So I would prefer that it be lighter than heavier on additional information, and like Howard said, to invite their response that we may be engaging. And at some point in the Democratic Party, somebody's going to look down and say, "You're getting this stuff from the Green Party?" And they're going to try, and they're going to put an end to that. They're going to want to put an end to that. And by that time, we have to have. Infected, if you will, their thinking on money.
No, I'm curious enough to look at it, though, you know, too. It's coming from the Green Party, maybe to believe it, you know. Okay, I think we've kind of spent an hour or so on that subject, so are we ready to move on to whatever else? Or it has on the agenda here.
May I say something?
Yes, you may. Well,
you can't send her an email unless you have a zip code within her district. If you look at her website, there are no email addresses.
Oh.
And it says, send me an email. Here's what it says. Please enter your zip code below to verify residency within my district.
What dis- Where is she from? I'm not.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
She's from Brooklyn. District 14 somewhere. It might have to be done by snail mail, period.
Okay.
Sue Stack.
Snail mail we will. Bill, go ahead.
I don't think her district's Brooklyn. I think it's between, it covers part of the Bronx and part of Queens. And let me just say, Howard, I don't know. I think that Paul from the Alliance said that he had a relative in her district, no? Yeah. I mean, she's probably not a member of the Green Party.
Yeah, that's the problem. We may have to do it by snail mail, you know. So.
Yeah.
She's in the 14th district of New York.
Right.
Let us just say the officers here will work that out. We'll figure out what we need to do.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And let us move on to the next item on our agenda then, which is to discuss plans for the workshop at the annual meeting. We touched on that a little bit last time. And there was a little bit of discussion we had on the listserv. And we, based on the information I had about the annual committee, Howard, what was that you wanted to call our workshop? You remember?
No, I don't remember.
Democratizing the money or something?
Ah, yes, right. Right. Use the language from the Green New Deal summary, democratizing the money.
Okay.
And let's see, it was something about what was, I have to think about that a bit.
I like that.
I can't remember what I...
I should have looked that up, and I didn't. But basically, we're going to be discussing... I think along with the Green New Deal.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes.
It was how.
How democratizing how the money
how
will
democratizing the money will green. Fund the Green yes. New Deal. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if we do a workshop on that, who will be working on that and will be at the annual meeting?
Alfred, I'm afraid I'm not going to be attending, so.
Okay.
Janet Staff.
Howard, you're planning on attending?
I am planning on attending.
Okay, and you're planning on being part of that workshop?
Although my plans aren't solid, but yes, I definitely would want to be involved in doing that.
Okay, and who else?
Janice Stack.
Go ahead, Janice.
I would like to help with that, and I'm working a lot on public banking also, and that's what they're saying, is they're democratizing money as well. So I may pick up some information there and, you know, be able to tie the two together.
Okay.
Right. Ellen understands what we're talking about when we talk about monetary reform. In fact, she has been at AMI before, so she's well aware of this and has and mentioned it in her book as well, The Web of Debt, but... she kind of backpedaled a little bit in order to bring public banking to the fore. And so, anyway.
Okay. Joe, do you plan on being at the meeting at all?
I'm sorry. I had gotten off, and I just caught the end of what Howard said. I wasn't sure what he was speaking about. At the meeting, at the annual meeting?
Yeah.
Yes, I am hoping to go.
Did you want to take part in the workshop that we're going to do for that?
Sure. I'll be glad to.
Okay. And what about Sue?
Yes, I'm going. I'd be glad to help out. Yes.
So we have like 4 people or so who are willing to help out with that? That's great. I won't have to work on it.
You're going, right, Rita?
I'm planning on it. I'm hoping I can go. Okay. I paid my $100 or whatever they wanted up front. So if I go, they'll have an extra donation. But I do hope to be able to go.
Yes, I hope to meet you there, Rita.
I just have things in my life that are rather unpredictable. So leave it at that. Hopefully I can help. So, anyway, does somebody want to, I don't know what kind of a workshop you're going to get. Will this be a presentation to the people who attend it? Is that it? You've done this before, Sue, I know, haven't you?
Yeah, I did a workshop out in Salt Lake City last July. And it was a PowerPoint, and I gave a talk, and then we had questions and answers. It was good.
Well, you'll have Howard and Joe and Janice to work with you on that. And would you like to kind of be the head of the little subcommittee we have here?
I guess. Okay. I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed. That's the only thing to take on.
That someone else took that role on?
Yes.
Okay. Then we have, probably either Howard or Joe.
Howard, what do you say?
Well, I did a couple of presentations for the Green Party, one in Houston and one in what was it, Iowa City, I think.
Yeah,
that year. But I'm for doing it. And what were you asking, if for a chair or something?
We have 4 people involved in it now, and I would like one person to have the to kind of be the head of the committee, okay, to make sure that things are going and getting done and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is like a little subcommittee, and it would be like being the chairman of the little subcommittee.
Okay, I think so.
You want to do that, Howard?
Great.
In other words, you want to be in charge of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Who are the other two? Joe and I and Sue.
Yeah.
And Janice.
And Janice, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Great. And we'll want a report from you at every meeting on what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
a weekly update.
I'm used to getting stuff taken care of, and some people just don't bother as much. So enough for that. Now you also have on your agenda producing articles for distribution.
In general, and I was just wondering, I just wanted to put that out that we should be thinking about these things and, get busy producing material that we want to put out. So I was just wondering, I was thinking another thing that we can be doing in that vein is when we find articles worthy of comment, or that you have written a comment on, or even a blog post on, We might, you know, start doing a Facebook thing. We've got that Facebook page. I'm wondering if, I'm not sure how to do it, but to get it lively.
We could put
material on there, because you can put articles on there about monetary stuff, and along with our comment about it, that that puts this, our spin on it.
Yeah, you can put videos on there, too.
The link right.
Videos?
Yeah.
Videos. Uh-huh.
Are we on there, Howard?
Yeah, and...
Yeah, we've got...
Are we on there?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we haven't done anything with it yet. Created a page, but I haven't done anything with it.
We're kind of waiting till our... committee is official. They have to approve our rules before we're in official committee.
Right.
And the voting starts Monday, so, and it'll go for a week. So we should have a pretty good idea by next week when we're going to be an official committee. Howard, do you want to discuss the... We're talking about articles for distribution. I just want to make one comment on that, and that is, if somebody wants to address a particular topic, as you did with AOC here, I think it would be a good idea to bring it up with the group before you do it and get some input and ideas before you write the letter. So we're aware of what you're doing and whatever, instead of doing it on your own. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's, sometimes.
I know. Sometimes the spirit moves you. I understand how that works. Sometimes the spirit moves me too. So.
I need some spirit.
I need to make a telephone call about something important that I'm working on with somebody here in Michigan that has to get out by midnight tonight. And I just need to make a short phone call, and I'll come back. So in the meantime, I'd like Howard to talk to you about producing educational materials and outreach. Okay?
Okay.
You made the agenda, so you can lead the discussion on that while I go make the call. I'll be right back.
All right. So, we've got a bunch of stuff on our Google Drive, but it kind of needs to be graphically assembled for distribution, or graphically, treated, printed, or PDFs, whatever, so that we could start sending them out, and if we have anything that is specific. I was thinking, one of the things that we want to educate is state parties, and so putting a package together that for state parties, and that could include Paul's stuff that he has on what he's doing too, and there was a video that I posted today by Pamela Haynes. Did any of you get a chance to watch that?
I did. I watched part of it. I watched part of it as much as I could.
Uh huh. Yeah, and she talked about somewhat in there.
Yeah. Yeah, how did you come by her work, Howard?
Oh, Govert posted that today on the Alliance group.
Oh, right. That's because she was in on the coffee shop. Right.
She was in on the coffee shop the other day. Yeah, right. She's a Quaker, so I assume John Howell might have had something to do with that.
Right. Great.
Meeting. And I believe that John and Paul had done a presentation at the national meeting on currency or and money.
Sue Stat.
Yeah, Sue.
Howard, can you explain in more detail what you mean by the Google Drive needs to be graphically treated?
I mean, if we were going to put some material out, like we have, you know, our introduction to the banking and monetary reform thing. And I was just thinking if we took that introduction and made it so that it was graphically appealing, you know, with maybe our letterhead or whatever, something that is eye-catching for people to maybe want to read it if they saw it somewhere. You know how a lot of times you get stuff in the mail. I'm sure you must get MailChimps and things like that that have lots of graphics and photographs and stuff along with the text. And so I was just thinking that that might be something we'd want to consider doing.
Like using some color.
Yeah, using a little color. Possibly, it wouldn't have to be, depending on the graphics you choose.
I wouldn't know anything about that, Howard.
Yeah. That's okay. But you might have to
that.
On what kind of material we should be putting out to people and getting out there. I feel like the Green Party does not push its monetary reform plank out in front of so much of what we're talking about to answer that question, how do you pay for it, out front so that, you know, all of this stuff that's in the wake, you know, is taken care of.
Sue Stack.
People aren't running that through their head all the time. You know, you're nuts, you're nuts, you're nuts. Yes, Sue?
I've never seen the green and the dollar pushed by any green. Have you? I'd be glad to hear about it. Hear about it.
Right. Right, it has. And that's what I would like to see this committee kind of bring to the fore enough to make people understand its importance enough to push it up.
Yeah, the way that you pay for the Green New Deal is by greening the dollar. That's they should be
right
hand in hand, you know. They should be.
So, educational material. Now, articles, that's another one where sometimes someone's article can inspire you to write an article.
What?
Because you can reference their article and talk about what they wrote about in such a way as to bring our issue forward. And, so I thought if anybody had any of that kind of material that they'd like to do, please do it and send it on. And I don't know if any of you are on social media, but that's a place to be constantly putting out monetary reform information. You make people aware that it's an important issue, not this nation, but for the world, because it is a global movement to make that change from private to public. That being the central issue.
Exactly.
Sue Stack.
Yeah, Sue.
Well, would our committee's Facebook page be considered social media?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to figure out how to. I don't know, maybe what would I do, invite everybody onto it or something? Is that how you get, I don't know how you get the Facebook rolling, but I'll figure it out. I'll get it out.
Yeah, I have never been on Facebook, so I don't know. I hear about it a lot.
Right. Well, you know, I was listening to David Cobb and Lee Camp on the Green News Network show, or Greens Forward, that David Cobb does a regular Facebook video thing that's been going on now for months. And he had Lee Camp on, who is a comedian that has his own show on cable, on RT TV. And he's really good. And he was talking about how, you know, he says, a lot of my, you know, activist friends are, you know, they're down on Facebook, but he says, you got to remember that Facebook puts you in touch with thousands of people. And we've got to work that space. And those thousands of heads that we could reach through those kinds of things. And, you know, so encouraging, but it was good to hear that, anyway. Not to discount it just because of the other negatives about it. And so, anyway, so you're not on Facebook, Sue and Joe. I know you both aren't, so this won't mean too much to you. I wonder what other venues there are that we could be putting stuff out. You know, I was thinking we could have, we can do these Zoom videos like Joe and I did, where we were just in conversation. And we could do a video where, you know, for instance, Kevin and I could have a conversation about whatever and put that up and just keep a constant flow of YouTubes coming out, too. We could have our own YouTube station.
Oh, I like YouTubes. YouTube, having a YouTube channel would be great.
I like that idea, Howard. I've been thinking about that. And
yeah, I do, too. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up at some point.
We found that those places, you know, because they have the comment stream under them, so you can get discussions going with people about stuff in those things, which sometimes is helpful and useful.
Well, it's, yeah, and, okay. All right.
Did we lose Joe off the column here?
Looks like we did.
Yeah, it looks like Joe's gone.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll be calling back in or not. Awesome.
I don't either.
Okay, well, it sounds like we don't really have any more business to deal with for now.
Okay.
So. And, so I guess we can go ahead and adjourn and get on with our Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Okay, one question before you leave. Before we leave, you put the link to the revised, or it's the same link or whatever, to the letter?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I took the letter down, and then I put the new one up.
And
whatever was there down, and then I put the latest version up. And I'm going to put the PDFs up with the letterhead too. But I was having trouble multitasking.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Did you have a question about that?
Me? No, I just haven't. I was just like, you know, kind of making sure, that's all.
Okay. Did we record our meeting?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And so I'll send that to Sue.
It's being recorded. I knew it. It said recording, and Howard said recording. It just didn't snap. I should
be Sue?
Yes.
On the shirt, and I should be looking.
When will you have your computer again?
I'm supposed to get a computer tomorrow, late afternoon, but I don't know how to use it, and they haven't set it up yet for me, and so I'm hoping by the end of the weekend I'll be up and running. I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
Sue, this is Kevin. You can get a less than $200 laptop computer and put a Linux on it, and it will do everything that you do, except it doesn't run Microsoft Office.
Oh, what?
Be a little bit weird.
Well, that's the question I had. What about, I found out my old computer had Microsoft Office, and it was just given to me when I got the computer, and it was just there year after year after year. Now they're telling me you have to pay $100 every year for Microsoft Office.
Well, I use LibreOffice, which is perfectly fine for everything that we do.
Can I use that on a Windows operating system? Oh, great. Thank you. That's a present to me.
You just download it off the internet, and then you'll get to look at it. It's not as good as Microsoft Office, but, I mean, it's perfectly adequate.
How do you spell that?
There's also OpenOffice, which is they're forks of the same program and all that, and they go through their evolutionary history. Libre is the one that's ahead of the game right now, but in a couple of years it might switch back to OpenOffice, but they're totally compatible. So, I mean, you get either one, whichever one you like better or runs better or whatever, and...
Oh, great, because I don't want to give Microsoft $100 every year for the rest of my life. My God.
spreadsheets, presentations, and stuff like that. And also, Howard, while we're talking about computer stuff, I just figured out how to use a program called OBS Studio. OBS-Studio. And this is also open source. I know it runs on Linux, and I don't pay any attention to whether it runs on Windows or not, but OBS Studio, I believe it does. I think it runs on all three major platforms. And you can set up videos, and you can do a lot of stuff for nice video productions with OBS Studio. So,
all right.
I used that. I was recording on Zoom. And then since Zoom was not giving good recordings, I figured out how to use OBS Studio. And I was very happy with the results. I was not happy with the video I produced, but I was very happy with how it worked.
Yeah, it's the one that you like of yourself, man.
For anyone who's left, I use OpenOffice, but a hint, be sure and save the a Word document in actual Word on OpenOffice, because otherwise other computers can't read it. I had a problem with that.
Mm. Yeah, that
so
is true.
It takes the extra step. And also, Howard, would you consider this idea that on our subcommittee we communicate by listserv, and we might just call it like subcommittee, but send it to the same listserv so everyone can see what we're doing, but we can communicate that way? Is that possible? You don't have to answer that now, but just a suggestion.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
What's the suggestion? I didn't understand.
I was thinking it would be good to use the same listserv so everyone saw it, but just have it with regard to the presentation, the workshop subcommittee.
Oh, you mean with the title on it?
I mean, do we need that banking monetary title? If we do, then keep it, but also put a, you know, workshop in the brackets as well, just so we know that's workshop-related business.
Oh, so like where it says topic, you know, where the email says, you know, what it's about, to say like ANC workshop subcommittee, something like that?
Yeah, well, when I receive listserv now, it always just says the person's name. This is just how I get it. I don't know how everyone else, if everyone else is like this. But it'll say who it's coming from or all the people involved in the discussion, and then it just has banking monetary in brackets. And then, you know, it goes into the email. So that's kind of the format with which I receive it, and that's very convenient. If we use that same listserv, but just have it indicate somehow that it's also workshop brackets, if that format sounds like, you know, that's the way we do it.
Are you suggesting using our present listserv with a sub listserv? Is that what you have in mind?
Well, what I have in mind, I'm not very educated on listserv, so it might sound really dumb, but what seems usable is to use our very same listserv and just add the name workshop to it, so, you know, I can make sure that
you know
that might.
You'd have to put that in the subject matter.
Right. That's what you're talking about, I believe.
For the subject of the email.
Yeah,
I mean, workshop.
If Howard does it, because he probably knows how to, and I receive it, I'll just keep sending it a reply all. And, you know, I assume it'll go to everyone. Is that how we do it over there?
Put workshop in the subject line. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's no way we can change those settings on it come out. And not everybody's email looks the same when it arrives.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So just use the subject line and just put, you know, workshop for A&M. Put it for the annual meeting. So.
Okay. Yeah, as long as we can communicate and if everyone agrees.
Stuff going on. So.
Does everyone agree that it's okay for the whole listserv to see it?
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that, unless they don't want to. And I don't know, are any of you familiar with using Slack at all?
I use Slack. We use Slack at Texas.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know how to set up a Slack account or whatever, but, you know, I use it with our executive committee. The officers use it to communicate with each other all the time, so it's just easier than email. But I don't know how to set that up, so I'm just asking. In the meantime, you go ahead and use the listserv.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how to do a Slack.
Yeah, Slack's a little complicated for me. So, I mean, to set it up. I mean, I can use the simple little, you know, the chat part of it. But aside from that, I don't know a whole lot about it. So, okay. Well, I think we've probably covered enough for tonight. So.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Very good meeting. Thank you.